Good morning, TGP. Was planning to read through part of James this morning, but what I decided to do as I was reading my quiet time today is actually to take us through Luke 1, through part of Luke 1. So if you are doing the table talk reading plan with me and you're in Luke 1 today, this will be part of your reading. And I think it totally counts as you're reading. And it's because the reason that I want to read this is that yesterday I said something about suffering not always being our fault, as in we can trace it back to a particular sin in our lives. Like I can look at the suffering that I'm going through and I can walk back and find a particular action that God is specifically bringing suffering into my life because of. And I think a lot of times we'll point to Job as that sort of righteous sufferer, or we'll point to Jesus, and sometimes those are our two main ones. But I think that Elizabeth also in this text gives us an example of someone who is called righteous and blameless. You'll read that in just a moment. She's called righteous and blameless before God, according to his law, and yet is going to suffer or has suffered for years of barren, like with barrenness. So a number of things that you'll see, I'm going to make my comments on the front end this time. A number of things that you're going to see is that suffering isn't only physical. It could be mental, emotional, and spiritual. And I think that probably while barrenness is something physical that happens, it is, I think, generally it affects a couple more mentally, emotionally, spiritually than particularly physically, although there could be certainly some ailments that that play into that. So suffering doesn't only have to be physical, it can be mental and spiritual and emotional. And you'll see in there in this the need that we have to bless God at all times. And so I take this because Elizabeth was blessing God in the midst of her suffering, or she wouldn't have been called righteous. So she was choosing to trust God and bless him in the midst of her barrenness, even when people were probably telling her, hey, if you would just repent of your sins, if you would just be blameless before God, he would bless you with children. Like, I'm certain that people were telling her that. And the reason that I think that is, verse 25, she talks about God looked on her to take away her reproach from among people. I'm guessing that there was some cultural kind of reproach for not having kids, but also I'm sure that there were people who were telling her, like, there's some sin, kind of like Job's friends. You just need to think back and do some self-examination and just find the sin that's causing this. And the Bible would tell us that no, that's not what that came from. And then there's also this need to believe his word, especially we get this need from her husband Zechariah, who doesn't believe the word, and he becomes silent for the whole pregnancy. So I'm just going to read this now, and then we'll spend. I might make a couple of other comments, but again, just this was on my heart today to read as I was studying this morning, and in sort of my devotional time, I was just struck by, like, here is an example of a righteous woman and man who have suffered with barrenness, and it's not their fault. And so I just think about, the present hour in which we live. There is this, there's this virus that's going around, and it's a result of sin in the world, but not necessarily traceable to a particular sin that God is punishing people for. So if you happen to get this virus, like I said yesterday, always do some self-examination and take stock, but don't necessarily think that God is punishing you for something. Okay, so here we go. Luke 1, verses 1 through 25. It's going to be a little longer reading today. Luke writes, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside the door at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace to us. God, I'm grateful that you don't deal with us as our sins deserve. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can always have a reason to praise you, even when we suffer. God, we can always praise you. We can always bless your name. And I pray that we would continue to walk in your statutes and your rules, to walk according to your Holy Spirit, even as and if we suffer. Lord, I pray that you would protect the hearts of the people who are our brothers and sisters who are suffering under this virus. Lord, that they would not question your goodness, that they would not question your good purposes, but that they would believe and trust your word, that they would trust that you are with them in the middle of it, that you're working in them. God, I pray that this would be the net result in people's lives, that you would use it for their good, that you would use it to further their trust in you and their vision of you, and their ability to love and serve you, God, that you'd hone their spiritual gifts in the midst of that. And Lord, if you see fit for any of us to have this virus and to suffer any ill effects from it, Lord, I pray that we would trust you, and that we would know, God, that you do not condemn us, and that you are not trying to punish us for our sins, but that you will discipline us in the midst of it, and you will use this for our discipline and for our good, and that all of it will ultimately serve our spiritual good. And so, Lord, I'm just grateful for your good purposes in all things, and I'm thankful that we can turn to you and worship you in the middle of suffering, and that we can worship you on the other side of suffering, looking back, just like Elizabeth did when she extolled you, God, for taking away her reproach. She knew that it was from you that she was barren, and she knew that it was from you that she conceived, and she blessed your name in all of it. God, I pray that we would do that as well. God, give us grace to believe your word. Give us grace to trust in your word and the goodness of your word. Lord, meet us in the reading of your word today, And I pray that you would help your people to delight in you, Jesus, our servant King, and to identify with you in as much as we suffer innocently. We know that we are not always innocent, God, but that there are times that we didn't do something that brings about our suffering, but we just suffer for what seems like to us no reason. And God, I just pray that we would identify with our Savior Jesus in as much as that's the case, and that you would use that to work glory in our hearts. Thank you for these men and women at TGP. I pray that you would draw their hearts to yourself, that you would turn their faces to you. God, I do pray that you would get glory through this virus and that you would work to preserve human lives and to stop the spread of this virus. And Lord, we ask that you would restore our ability to meet face to face with our brothers and sisters soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, y'all have a great day.